it's uncharted territory for me. The one time I did get traded amid season, you know, the Cowboys, they had a bye week that same week, so I kind of had a lot of time to prepare, to know the system and things of that nature. So this is definitely new for me. At the end of the day, it's just football, you know. I think I'm a pretty cerebral guy, at least cerebral enough to learn the playbook as fast as I can. If I can go out there and get lined up and just run routes, catch the ball, get open, you know, compete in the run game.
New Buffalo Bills wide receiver Amari Cooper.
As
my buddy Jim, he told me this one during the week, and he's like, I need you to say this on air, and this is my promise to a friend.
Okay.
So this is for my buddy Jim. I tweeted it with the show promo that Brandon Beam is the Cooper Scooper.
The Cooper Scooper.
Oh yes, and that's how we're bringing Carl Jones in, is that Brandon Bean is the Cooper Scooper. How do you rate that joke there, Carl?
Man, I don't know about that one. You my dog and all, but I don't know.
It wasn't my joke, it was my buddy's. I was like, fine, I'll do it for you. So, sorry, Jim, you're getting dragged now.
I love it, though. Next time.
Sure. Yeah, we got to workshop these things. That's how it is. First of all, now, Carl, any other radio show give you an introduction as chaotic as that? I don't think that's going to happen. But Carl Jones, WIVB, joining us here on the West Hera Hotline. It's been a month and change since we talked. It's good to have you back.
I'm glad to be back, man. Glad to chat it up with you guys. And what a better week to chat it up.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, well, what's happened here? Wait, I just got a flag, Carl.
The zebras are running through the halls as we speak here.
They're inside our walls now. So, Carl, of course, the flag-filled Monday night game, they win it. It's 4-2 now for the Bills. They got themselves in clear control now of the AFC East. And what do they do seeing the Jets trade for Davante Adams? Oh, ho-hum, we'll take some of that attention away. We bring Amari Cooper in from Cleveland to the Buffalo Bills here. This is a dynamic addition in the sense that Amari Cooper is very good against man coverage. He's a guy that is very talented. He still is one of the better athletes that not a lot of people seem to talk about, and is one of the most underrated wide receivers in the National Football League. What are your thoughts here on the Bills adding Cooper and being able to help the wide receiver room that had been clearly struggling over the last 3 weeks?
I love it, especially for the prices they got him. I mean, the Browns kind of did them a favor with restructuring his contract before the season began. I know they were in talks of moving him for the Brandon Ayuk thing, and things happened, but that just happens to be a blessing for the Bills in the skies to a certain extent. But I love the skill set fit for where the Bills are right now. I said this in the offseason, and it felt like this through the first 6 weeks of the year, where the Bills' offense feels like they're in New York City rush hour traffic where, like, yeah, they can plow through you if they want to, but they can't really go 60 miles per hour and, like, go stretch the field vertically and have explosive plays. And that was due in large part because of the talent on the outside. And I think Amari Cooper, I know he's not like a blazer, Tyreek Hill or anything like that, but he's really crafty down the field. He's a vet. He's savvy, and he knows how to push guys off and work sidelines. And I think he'll be a great addition in terms of helping the Bills become more explosive because I'm not saying that 12-play drives aren't great, but to do it consistently week in and week out against some of the better defenses in the NFL is a tall task to ask for.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, that addition spoke volumes at the same week as the, like we mentioned, the Davante Adams trade, the same day, that is. I guess looking at the Titans defense, right? Let's just dive right into it. The Titans defense is ranked as one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. That might be a little inflated based on the quarterback talent they have played. Where do you see, I guess, does Amari Cooper and the limited snaps he is going to play help kind of open some guys up? Or where do you see the Bills and Josh Allen able to fit in that no matter what?
I do think it's inflated because of quarterback play. I do know they have a pretty nasty front led by Jeffrey Simmons. Harold Landry can come off the edge as well. They got their up front is what fuels their defense. Obviously, they got L'Jarius Sneed over there now. He's not quite having the same success he had in Kansas City, but he's still a solid player. So those type of players, especially on the back end, where they play a lot of press coverage, they get in your face. Cooper is the one guy who excels in that regard. So if without him this week, I do think it'll be a little bit more of a challenge to go up against that defense. But with someone like that, if he plays 40 to 50% of the snaps, you know he'll have packages. You know he'll have stuff in the red zone designed strictly for him. It'll help out so, so much against a Titan defense that wants to get in your face and be physical.
Part of one of the ways, though, to help out against a physical defense is, well, the proficiency in the run game that the Bills have been able to hit you right in the face first. That offensive line, it doesn't seem to matter at this point who's behind Josh Allen in the backfield. James Cook has had himself a nice season. Ray Davis had himself a beautiful game against the Jets. That offensive line, Carl, is how things have been going when it comes to paving the way and helping maintain some balance with the Bills' offense.
Are y'all showing the big fella some love. Let's go. No, you're 100% right, though. And they've kind of been molded in Sean McDermott's image of like wanting to be a physical team. As long as he's been in Orchard Park, he's wanted a team that can establish the line of scrimmage on both sides. And I think you see all the resources they poured on the defensive line over the years. And they may not have done it with high draft picks on offense, but you can see that they've continued to try to revamp that unit to be some guys who can control the game. And I know they had some hiccups in Baltimore as well as in Houston, but in their wins, a lot of that was because of the fact that they can move a man from point A to point B and backs weren't getting contact until 5-6 yards down the field.
Carl Jones joining us here on the West Hurrah Hotline. Of course, when it all comes down to it, though, Josh Allen, for the Bills to have continued success, Josh Allen needs to be Josh Allen. And it feels like a little bit is personnel. Part of it might be that hand injury that he's had to deal with since the first game of the year. But it's a very pedestrian 193 passing yards a game right now for the Bills quarterback. How much do you think Amari Cooper, over the course of the season, will be able to help get those totals back to where we're used to, or at least somewhat what we're used to with number 17?
I think he'll help, especially on those plays where it's got to have it down. It's 3rd and 6. You know, you can have the best play call in the world, but at the end of the day, you need your guy to win. And I don't know throughout the first 6 weeks if he truly felt confident, especially in those Texans and Ravens games. The other three games, I just think the Bills were just that much better than the team across from them that it really didn't matter. But against those better teams with formidable defenses, it'll help to have a guy that you say, hey, man, I trust you. You're going to win. I don't care if that's Marlon Humphrey on the other side. I don't care if that's Derek Stingley Jr. You're going to win. So especially on those third downs, I know the Bills have struggled in 3rd and longs. No one likes to be in 3rd and longs. But Josh Allen is actually one of the better quarterbacks of that in the NFL. But this year it hasn't been that case. I think because he hasn't really had an outlet or a guy, he's like, you know what, we're going here, F the playbook. So I think that's a guy who will help out at least in that regard.
Yeah, I think also the last couple, those two games that you mentioned, Baltimore and Houston, Khalil Shakir dealt with that injury and even kept him out of Houston entirely. With his proficiency of moving the chains this year, it was definitely tougher to get things going there. Moving to the other side of the ball, Carl, this defense is finally getting healthy. Taron Johnson comes back last week, seals the game with the interception. Taylor Rapp plays probably his best game as a Bill coming off of the concussion. And now you're starting to see, and Ed Oliver looks like he's ready to go now this week as well. It looks like the Bills' defense is coming back healthy and looking to come back to form.
Yeah, and they're a unit that I had some question marks coming into the season. I still have some. But I think that combined with Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage calling plays and designing stuff, and then some players who have taken a leap. I think Terrell Bernard outside of Western New York was underrated by some, and I think he's going to continue to make plays this year, so he's on everyone's radar and you can't miss him. Christian Benford, he's taken a step. I know that the Bills wish that flash from week 1 from Gregory Rousseau will come back at some point and be more consistent, but they have some dudes who are dudes. And I think that's one thing that you see from all the elite defenses in the NFL. Regardless of the play call, regardless of who's across from you, do you have a guy who can change the game? And I think that the Bills are hoping that you can see continued growth from a Terrell Bernard, from a Christian Benford, to where you're in the postseason, hey, man, you're going up against a Jamar Chase or a Mark Andrews or whoever the case may be. Can you just go make a play? I can't scheme you up here. Can you just go out there and do something spectacular? And I think so far you've seen some players on the Bills' defense. We already know Taron Johnson can do that, Matt Milano as well. Do they have a couple more up their sleeve that can be those guys come postseason time?
So staying on the topic of defense here, the Bills' defense, like we said, is getting healthier, but there still are some players out like Matt Milano. Von Miller is out for a couple more games. Players, though, the next man up mentality has been strong throughout the season. Dorian Williams, though, specifically, yeah, he's had a couple spots where he's gotten burned, per se, right? But overall, he's been very serviceable in place of Matt Milano. What are your thoughts on him?
I'm loving what I'm seeing. We've all played sports, and you heard the analogy where, like, hey, man, I'd much rather have a player I tell to dial it back as opposed to turn it on. And Dorian Williams personifies that. There will be some plays where I don't even know if he's going to the right gap, but he's hitting somebody. I can work with that, and I know the Bills can work with that. That's why he's out there playing a lot of snaps this year. That Texans game especially, he was knocking back those dudes in a line of scrimmage 2-3 yards and making plays in the backfield, and that's really impressive out of an undersized linebacker. It's really C-ball, hit-ball when the work comes to him, and he's become a lot more disciplined in pass coverage as well. I know that's why he got benched as a rookie in 2023. I'm impressed with what I've seen with him. He's a guy that when and if Matt Milano comes back to form later in the season, I'm sure the Bills are going to figure out ways to keep him on the field, and it's a great problem to have when you got to decide, hey, Matt Milano, Taron Johnson, Dorian, who do we take off the field? The Bills will address that come December and January, but man, it's just fun to watch him play, especially when he's just trying to hit anything in sight.
Carl, of course, I wouldn't have you on here if we're not going to talk secondary and D-backs here, man. So I got to do my duty to get the word out about how this secondary has been playing. Christian Benford's starting to get a little bit of those roses now throughout the season from outside sources or outside media of, hey, this guy is actually continuing to almost dominate, it seems. Him and Rasul Douglas remain one of the best secondary tandems in the league when at corner. There are some hiccups still at safety with Damar Hamlin, Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop, Bishop in particular getting burned in Houston. But what is your take so far about how that secondary has been able to continue to dictate play even when they still give up yards? Aaron Rodgers almost gets to 300 this past Monday, but it almost still feels like the secondary is in control.
Yeah, they're like a boa constrictor on defense, especially that secondary where you can get a couple slants here, a dig route there, might give up a flag route, but it's going to be constricting, and we're going to force you to be right every single play. And that's kind of why they feast on below-average quarterbacks, because below-average quarterbacks aren't going to be right every single snap. Now, on Monday night, Aaron Rodgers has seen every single defense in the world, so he's going to be a player who's going to be right more often than not. But even he was wrong a few times, as you saw on that final play of the game for the Jets offense. That's what's so cool about how they play defense in the secondary. They're always on the same page. They communicate, albeit the Texans' long touchdown to Nico Collins was a miscommunication, but they don't really have those hiccups too often. And it's not just like they know what they're doing. They can play. We've seen Rasul Douglas take the ball away. Christian Benford, so physical out there. I'm so jealous. I wish I had his tenacity at cornerback because I really wasn't trying to hit and tackle out there. Christian Benford think he a linebacker or something. I don't know. The dude can hit. And then Taylor Rapp, let me tell you, I don't know what era he thought he was in, but I swear he thought he was watching some Ronnie Lott. You know what? Taylor Rapp had to watch Ronnie Lott in pregame because he was out there smacking dudes. I'm like, yo, came back from concussion, and I thought he was Ronnie Lott again. So they're playing well, and I know that a lot of people want to credit that to the scheme, but players play, and players make plays. And so far this year, the secondary has done that.
So, Carl, this has been something that we've seen now a little too frequently with this team. It's that Hail Mary problem, and it came back. Like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is that dude. He's been able to do that all throughout his career. But a lot of fans got a lot of past trauma, so to say, seeing the Bills give one up like that. Have you ever had that kind of experience of dealing with a Hail Mary, and why are the Bills so – like, can we try to at least –
why are they trying to help catch the ball?
Demystify what the hell they're doing when it comes to that play.
Man, truthfully, what happened Monday night, if I had to guess, they didn't anticipate the Hail Mary, and that's why the roles look kind of weird. Like, Taron Johnson, actually, and I know it sounds crazy, he did the right thing. And the person in the front is supposed to box out. The issue was there was no one to box out. And then Taylor Rapp and Damar Hamlin was trying to catch the ball for some odd reason instead of bat it down. And then there are guys in the back, like I believe Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas were. So they were in the right spots. They just clearly didn't execute the right way. I mean, you practice Hail Mary situations every single walkthrough practice on Friday. So it's not like they don't go through it. I know that they do it. Some guys just freeze up in the moment. I don't know. I'm kind of baffled that it continues to happen to the Bills, too.
Yeah, man, I had to pick your brain on that one because it's something that it's just like, why? How? Why? Why? Like, that's the question that keeps coming up. Why? Like, and we're never going to get a clear answer on it because, like you said, it's a mix of execution and, like, you know, maybe you're thinking too much about something in the moment. But also at the same time, I don't know if there's something with the calls or the coaching that why do the Bills keep trying to catch the ball in those situations? Are they not getting the teaching that's supposed to be going on there? I have too many questions about a scenario that we see once every some odd years, but it's the fact that we're still seeing it every couple years that it came into my head, and I'm just like, I gotta ask somebody. So I had to go to you on that one as our secondary ace, so to say.
Yeah, no, I understand how it's frustrating because I know it is something that you practice 2 minute every single Friday. You practice all special situations. I know Hail Mary's in there, and if it isn't, and if it wasn't before, they do it twice every Friday now.
So taking a look, just to wrap up here, taking a look at the schedule from here on out for the Bills, they kind of have to go on a run here before they face Kansas City. How easily do you see that being done if they keep playing the way they do and Josh Allen continues to elevate as Amari Cooper also gets involved more with the offense? Lots of pieces that are possibly coming back with Von Miller too. So what do you see the Bills doing on their run to the head-to-head with Kansas City here?
Yeah, I see some wins. I mean, you got four games in between that Kansas City game, November 17th. I think they should be able to take care of business against the Titans. It's a home game, so I know the Bills are ecstatic that they can sleep in their own beds the day before the game. I think the Seahawks game is tricky, flying cross-country. I like Geno Smith a lot. They have some weapons on the outside. I like what Mike McDonald, their new head coach, does on defense. But I think the Bills are better on paper, but as we all know, those time zone games are tricky. Tua should be back for that Dolphins game. I don't know if they get a new spark because he's back. And then the Colts, who know? Honestly, I think the Colts are the one team that no one knows anything about. Like, Anthony Richardson has played like 12 games. Actually, that's too many. He's played like 6 games in his NFL career. Who knows? So I think a 3-1, and I know they're better than probably all the teams in the schedule, but it's the NFL. You're going to drop a couple games that you probably shouldn't. I think they should be in good shape before they got to play Kansas City on the 17th.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I do think that, like you said, Carl, they should be able to clean up a business on paper. There's a lot of winnable situations in those 4 weeks there. But it's going to be an interesting one, to say the least, especially with Amari Cooper getting into this role and trying to get a little bit more acclimated. Carl, what do you got coming up here with the Bills, with your coverage? And if people aren't following you, first of all, they're doing it wrong. And second of all, let them know where to find you, where to find your work, and how to see what you've got going on.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter, X. I'm still going to call it Twitter. I'm sorry, Elon Musk.
Yep, I'm with you all the way, man.
Follow me on that, Jones11_. Obviously, I'm a reporter on the team, so I give all the information for, like, the Daily Beat reporter stuff. And then also, I kind of look at things from a defensive back perspective. So I'm like, hey, I can tell you what X, Y, and Z were thinking on this given play. If you're looking for what a tackle is supposed to do on a stunt blitz, sorry to break it to you, buddy. I have no idea what Deion Dawkins is supposed to do. But if you want to know what Christian Benford or Rasul is doing, I got you. And then tomorrow, actually, on our Buffalo kickoff live coverage before the game, I sat down with Ray Davis for our 5-question segment. Funny, funny dude. He is hilarious, great personality. You guys should check that out tomorrow at 11 a.m.
There we go. Carl, I always appreciate you. Thank you for jumping on again. And I'll tell my buddy we got to start workshopping more of those nicknames.
Yeah, for sure. No, Cooper's Pooper Scooper, whatever. Next time.
Yeah, we'll get it next time. Carl, thank you, man. Enjoy your weekend. And looking forward to seeing what you got there at 11 there with Buffalo Kickoff Live.
Thank you. You guys have a good one.
You too, thanks.
You too, Carl. Appreciate you. That's Carl Jones on the Western Hotline, WIVB, here in Buffalo. I love talking to Carl, man. He's always got that insight.
Mm-hmm.
And
as a former player, it's always interesting because he has a different scope that
I sure as hell don't.
Yeah, right.
You know? So, you know, being able to pick his brain. It's like it was the Hail Mary thing. Like, So you and I will always think of questions about these sorts of things. And you pointed at the Tyler Bass point, and I was like, eh, we already did that.
Yeah.
So then I was like, wait, there's something else that upset me about that game.
And I totally forgot about it.
And we hadn't brought it up yet. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. They allowed another dang Hail Mary.
Yeah. It's because it was all of a sudden, like, you know, they thought they were
going to... They were in control. Like, you were looking at double dip activated.
Yes, yeah.
You're up by 10. And the next thing you know,
Aaron Rodgers does Aaron Rodgers.
58 yards later, you're like, what the hell?
You knew it was going to happen, though, because they showed the three successful ones before that. And I'm like, yep, they did it.
You know what?
This is it. This is what happens.
The one thing I really think and I theorize that they should have done is, and I'm kind of crazy for it, blitz them.
Send an all-out blitz. Yeah.
Send a blitz. You want to know why? The Jets have been terrible against it.
Yeah.
And even in that game, Buffalo did it a couple times, and he got crushed by A.J. Epinesa.
A.J. Epinesa.
For a legal sack, by the way. And like he came clean off the edge. If you blitzed him there, he doesn't have time to throw the Hail Mary.
He had so much time to wait.
And you might be. But also, Sean McDermott prepared for the sideline. Prepare for the sideline because they didn't have timeouts. So guess what?
You stop them. They're not getting into field goal formation.
They're not getting into field goal formation in due time. And, like, yeah, you might risk, like, getting the 15-yard penalty and setting them up for, like, roughing the pass or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I would take that risk on that sort of situation, especially with the team struggling against blitz.
Yes.
Hindsight's 20/20, though.
Mm-hmm.
I still think you should have blitzed them more than you did in that game because the Jets were blitzed more than 50% of the time in the last two games against Minnesota and against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And those two teams dominated them.
Yeah.
Where this was a game.
It was a game because of that Hail Mary.
It was a game because of that Hail Mary. And if you blitz in that situation, you might have been able to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's hindsight kind of thing.
It's also a divisional game, and those always tend to be closer than your average matchups.
It's still a fascinating point to bring up that maybe you could have done that and made it work. But all we have to do is react to the fact that what they did didn't work. And you go, why us? Why? Again, why?
They mentioned the Hail Mary, all of that on the broadcast, too. Mm-hmm. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I was like, ah! Why?
Then people forget the same season, they let the Chargers do it, and then they famously derp it by trying to run the ball a couple times with no timeouts.
Mm-hmm. I forgot the Chargers did it until when it happened, I went back and looked. And everyone on Twitter was like, oh, look, it's just like the Chargers, just like the Cardinals.
And I got so terrified when the Colts lined up to do it in the wild card game.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm like, oh, no.
That game was close.
Yeah. And I'm like, this team stinks against the Hail Mary. Rivers didn't have the arm strength. It didn't get to the end zone. But but the minute they're lining up for it, I'm like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. I'm terrified because they are 0-2 this year. And it's like.
Yeah. And, you know, you never knew what Phillip Rivers was capable of.
Exactly.
I mean, he could have pulled some crazy thing out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
It was just the minute they lined up for that, I was like, oh no, I'm scared now. Like that whole game, I'm like, cool as a cucumber. I'm like, okay, yeah, Indy's making it a game, but the Bills got this. They got this. They got this.
There's no way they don't. And then Hail Mary.
And then they're lining for Hail Mary. I'm like, they might not got this. So it's weird. The sports are weird, man. Why do we do it? Well,
you even heard Carl, right? These games, the Bills are better on paper than every single one of these teams leading up to Kansas City. But it's the NFL, so you're going to drop one that you shouldn't.
And sometimes the coaching decisions haven't been the best when you look at it in hindsight. And that's typically why there's some complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay to say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to chime in here. Bills getting Amari Cooper. What do you think is going to go on there? They've got the Titans tomorrow. They should beat the hell out of them.
They should. With no field goals or kicks.
I don't know.
No Hail Marys either.
Yeah, no Hail Marys either. Sabres play tonight against Chicago. Are you frustrated like I was in the first hour? Anything is on the table. Everything's on the table. If you want to jump in, Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.